2 Corinthians chapter 5, and during the message, I'm probably going to turn to a couple other passages. I'm not necessarily going to wait like I normally would and give you time to catch me, because I'm trying to be done early today so we can get to the baptisms. So if I do turn to those and you can't get there quickly, please don't feel necessarily pressured to. And I said if I turn to them, because sometimes it's all up here and I'm looking at the clock and I may or may not. So, but if you don't, you can't catch them quick, I'd rather you hear and be focused than be distracted by turning. And if you want to go over them, I'm glad to turn to them later, one-on-one, and show you what it was we were talking about. Around here, we bring our Bibles to church. If you can, not required to, but I encourage everybody to. And we open them and look, because I don't want anybody coming into church and taking my word for it. And I do what I can to avoid going by my emotions when it comes to things that are important in life. Your emotions will lead you astray. They'll deceive you. And what we need is something bigger than how we feel. I'll tell you this much. When I first had my initial one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ, which was never face-to-face or a vision or anything like that. By the way, this message isn't going to be typical this morning. Just for those of you who are here every Sunday, it's not going to be a typical message. When I first had my one-on-one with Jesus Christ, it was in my heart, in my conscience, and it was a very uncomfortable feeling. Because you're going to find out, according to the Bible, that He's holy, which means perfect, which means sinless. And you're going to find out, according to the Bible, that you're not. And I'm not. And any religious leader you may want to counsel with is not. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's mama, that's grandmama. I'm Italian. When I say that's mama and grandmama, now you know my dedication level. I'm half Italian. You know I'm serious. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Proof that everybody's a sinner is that you all die. You all have an appointment with death. More and more as I'm getting bumped over the hill here, kind of barely. I'm still at the top, so, you know, it's all good. But I'm having these conversations with people, and it's like, you know, it doesn't matter if they're 60. They're like, well, I still feel 20 inside. And then I realize when I try to go play basketball or have to work in the yard all day that I ain't 20 anymore. What's happening? Regardless of how you feel in your brain, you're getting older because you have an appointment with death. And that is proof that you're a sinner. Because God in His mercy, when He gave us the choice in the beginning in the garden, He gave us the choice as to whether or not we were going to obey Him. And guess what Eve chose? She chose disobedience. I mean, but don't be hard on her, because if you'd have been in her shoes, you'd have chose the same thing you have throughout your whole life. Yes, sir. And as a result of being born by two sinful parents, you were born with a sin nature. You, me, your beautiful little baby, your mama, your grandmama, we were born with a sin nature. And as a result of that, there's separation between us and God. He's holy and you're not. God Almighty created you in the beginning, and that does not take a whole lot of faith to believe. It takes less faith to believe that than it does to believe you're here by chance, because science has to prove it and repeat it, observable and repeatable. And nobody observed the Big Bang, but somebody did observe creation and record it. You guys believe in a miracle. Well, you do too if you believe in evolution. Actually, your miracle is bigger than mine. Because yours is utter chance, mine has a divine intellectual creator behind it, and everything that I observe and repeat in life is that things don't get better by a big bang. Get in your car, drive it out of here, hit the closest brick wall, and tell me if out of your car comes a Maserati or not. It doesn't work. God created you. And as a result of you being created in the image of God, He left a God-shaped hole in your heart. In other words, there's something that only Almighty God can fill in every single individual on this planet. There's something only Almighty God can fill. And that's a personal relationship with Him. Three things everybody everywhere on the planet asks. And I've been to other countries, third world and developed countries. Everywhere we go, three things everybody wants to know. Why am I here? I sat with a 70-year-old man one time. I remember him kicking his feet together like that while he was eating his ice cream. And he said to me, he said, Mike, if I ever figure out my purpose in life, I'm going to do it. I've been asking God why I'm here, and whenever I figure it out, I'm going to do it. And I thought, God help me, that's a sad state that a man at that age still doesn't know why God put him on this planet. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Every religion, stay with me, every religion on the planet capitalizes on these three things. Why am I here? Where did I come from? And where am I going? Because everybody gets afraid of death, nobody wants to die. Well, God has the answer to those questions, folks. God Almighty created you and He has the answers. And this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about some of these things, specifically honing in on baptism. And the reason I say we're going to look at what the Bible says is because there's all kinds of answers when it comes to religion. For whatever particular reason, religion loves to capitalize on all these things and then capitalizing on your innate desire to know some of the answers to these questions. Religion then will take your emotions and your feelings and your psyche and begin then to manipulate that into saying, here's what you've got to do, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And of course, it always somewhere along the line has to do with joining our church, has to do with the plate that goes in front of you. I know of some churches that kick people off the rolls if they don't give. Well, you know, you saw how much of a priority that to us that is around here. Where was the plate? How do we give? Don't worry about it. Because God doesn't need your money to get His work going. And God doesn't need your money to support His people. And if I'm God's man, I don't need your money to keep doing what God called me to do. If you even have a question about that, or if you're a visitor this morning, keep it in your pocket and go out to lunch. Preacher, you got no idea how much I was going to drop in. Great, then go buy a Maserati. God doesn't need your money. And we're not after your money this morning. If you think I'm playing, you don't know me. We ain't after your money. God Almighty wants your soul. You know what? The folks that have gotten saved already, I'm going to say that again. Those of you who have gotten saved already, and as a result of the fact that you are already born again, you want to be baptized today. I'm going to say that again. Since you already are born again and on your way to heaven, you want to be baptized today.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You understand then that this baptism this morning does not save your soul.
Amen.
Religion loves to capitalize on the Lord's Supper and baptism. And what they'll say is they'll grab the word sacraments. These are sacraments, or meaning ways of salvation. And they'll say, listen, you have to receive Jesus Christ in a wafer or a drink. And more than one denomination, please don't feel like I'm picking on your pet denomination. If that's one that you love, God bless you. You know what? You have a right to choose what you want. I'm just here to ask you to think a little bit. I'm not that you're not thinking the other way. I know a lot of intelligent. See, I'm trying not to be offensive today. You guys that know me know how I roll sometimes, right? I get fired up about this religious subject. It's kind of what I do with my life. And it means something to me because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not because I'm holy, because He is and He loves me in spite of me.
Yes, sir.
And He loves you the same way. And I get a little fired up about this subject. I can't stand manipulation in the name of God, capitalizing on the psyches of individuals and the fears of people to try to make them feel good and say, here's a means of salvation. You have to do this and you have to do that. And we're looking at baptism today. That's what we're going to hone in on. But listen, these things, there's two ordinances left the local church. The Lord's Supper and baptism. We don't revolve our church around the Lord's Supper and baptism every week. Why? Because the Lord's Supper and baptism are ordinances. They're not a means of salvation. There's something left us, and the proof of this is in the Word of God. We build what we believe off of the Word of God, not off of our culture, not off of our tradition, not off of our denomination. When you saw the sign pulling in, it was what it was.
Amen.
You know what you're getting before you come here. Bible Believers Church. We're going to show you what the Bible says about these subjects, and we're not going to manipulate the Bible to make it fit our agenda. We're going to look at what God said and say, God, help me to fit in with who you are and what you're doing, because I need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I need an assurance of salvation. I need to know that all the sinful things that I have done and that I am are forgiven. So when I die, I can go to heaven. Religion will say if your good works outweigh your bad works, but the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how can a religious guy get in the pulpit and tell you, well, if your good outweighs your bad, then maybe you'll make it? When God said, not of works, lest all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I mean, God made it so clear, it's as plain as the nose on my face, which gets plainer as I get older. You've got to understand that God says things different than religion does. If I can, as a religious leader, get you to always feel guilty, get you to always feel like if I get there and the scales kind of balance out right, I might make it in. I can hook you and pull you in the boat. I've got you. I'll fillet you and eat you for dinner. You're mine now because I forever am holding the guilt monkey over your head. You're not coming because you want to be here. You're coming because you're hoping to escape hell. You know you live like the devil Friday night, and now Sunday morning you want to come in and kind of get the guilt off your back a little bit, and maybe the good works are going to outweigh the bad works. And human nature loves to say, here's what I'm doing to secure my own salvation, because I'm a pretty good person. I don't do what I do because I think I'm a good person. I do what I do because I know what I am, and I know who it was that forgave me and saved me, and I know who I'm all about. It ain't Mike Reagan, and it ain't this church, and it ain't any denomination. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Based on what the Bible says, we believe the Bible. Now, give me a quick second here. If you don't believe the Bible, or you don't understand why we would believe the Bible, can I say this? There's a lot of intelligent people that don't believe the Bible. It doesn't mean their IQ's low. See, I'm being fair. So here's what I ask you to do. I ask you to be fair back. I don't know what my IQ is. I don't want to know. I'm sure of this. It's less than I think it is and more than you think it is. But could you not say maybe there's a reason somebody might believe the Bible, and if the Bible is the Word of God, then it will stand up to scrutiny? And give me a chance to talk to you. Before you leave here today, get my phone number. If you're not from here and you don't know me, get my phone number. I'll meet you through the week at your convenience. Well, I work nights, sleep all day. Great, take a night off and I'll meet you. That's how serious I am. And I will answer your questions and I'll show you, and I believe that Bible can stand up to your scrutiny, and you'll be shocked at what's in that book. I'm talking about science that was written down 2,000 years before scientists figured it out, when all the world made fun of the Bible as being written by men, because obviously the six stars in the band Orion aren't seven, there's only six, and the Bible says there's seven until they discovered that they invented the telescope and saw the seventh. That's one. I got many more. And here's the utmost evidence for the Bible being the Word of God. As you begin to look at those things intellectually, something's going to start happening in your heart that might already be happening this morning for all I know. You start feeling that little bit sort of uncomfortable feeling. Those of you that are getting baptized today, when you first came under conviction, recognizing that you deserved hell because you're a sinner and there was an issue there, wasn't that sort of an uncomfortable feeling? Then why is it that every time I go to church, the dude up there is trying to make me feel comfortable? I don't wear a suit because it makes me feel spiritual. I just wear a suit because I respect my office as a pastor and as a preacher, and I'm not going to walk around acting like, you know, hey, man, we're cool. I'm one of the boys, dude. Like, you're a preacher, man. It don't fit. My job ain't to make people feel comfortable. My job is to give you what God Almighty said, and if you accept it, good for you. It's good for you. And if you reject it, I did my job. And when I answer him, he and I are good. And that's all that really has to happen in my life. I have to be ready to answer to my Savior, but you need to be ready to answer to him too. And what do we have or know that we can look to say, okay, there's my authority. There's the answers. You trust in me? Let me tell you something. I heard one preacher say this all the time. People in his church come to him and ask him if they can put him on the referral list when they're trying to get a job. And you know what his answer is? No. I've been doing this well over 30 years, I believe. He says, no. Mid-60s. Well, preacher, I've been in your church for 20 years. You don't know me. I see you on Sunday morning when you're dressed up. Maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. When you're putting your best face forward, I don't live with you. I don't follow you around all week at work. You say, what's your point, preacher? You don't know me. That woman in the back and the four little girls, there's only three of them right there, but one of them's in the nursery probably. Oh, she's over here. There you are, hiding on me, girl. They kind of got a good idea who I am. They still don't know my mind or heart entirely. She might, but not entirely. So how are you going to walk into any church anywhere and say, well, my preacher told me? You're betting your eternal soul on my preacher told me. I had a good feeling about him. You know, the men that I wound up developing relationships with, there's about two or three of them that became mentors in my life, good 20 and 30 years older than me. When I first began seeking their counsel and their leadership, I couldn't stand the way they made me feel. One of them, particularly when I called him almost 10 years ago, he said, what do you want?
I want you to come preach a meeting.
Why? Didn't make me feel good, but guess what? He had the truth, and he's been a huge help and blessing to me. I'm just trying to tell you, you can't always run it by your feelings. We got to have a book that's the answer. My first point for you this morning regarding baptism is there's major misunderstandings about it. Baptism will not save you. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's that hole in your heart that I already talked to you about. God has reconciled you unto himself. How? One way. By Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So this morning what I'm trying to do is minister to you, if you're not saved, the ministry of reconciliation. That's why I'm not doing my typical, you know, stomping and pounding and spitting, because I get fired up. The other half of me is Italian. It's in my nature. I'll always be that way. I apologize if it offends people, but it is what it is. But I'm trying to express a little bit of a different mode to you here this morning. What this thing is not, you're going to burn! That might be true. That absolutely is true if you're not saved. But that's not the spirit of it. The spirit of it is there's a ministry here. Well, you go visit somebody in the hospital and you don't, well, that's the result of sin. Well, thank you for the great comfort, preacher. Appreciate it. No, you minister to them when they're hurting. You know what's happened to people, especially in this nation, as we've turned away from God and the Bible? They're hurting. They're hurting. Everybody's hurting. It's been kind of a wacky year, hasn't it, 2020? If you weren't hurting before, you're hurting now. I don't give a flip what your political position is. I care about any of that stuff. You're messed up, you're hurting, you're scared. It's a weird time we're living in. Not only that, but every individual's got sin problems. Sin brings pain. And even if it's not your own sin that's caused you pain, I will guarantee you something. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning, somebody else's sin has brought your life pain. Sir. You know what we need? We need something that can heal us. And it's the one that created us. Dope ain't going to do it. If you haven't noticed, liquor ain't going to do it. If you haven't noticed, a new husband, a new wife, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend ain't going to do it. If you haven't noticed, having children, one of the greatest things in the world. My wife and I love our kids, but guess what? Kids ain't going to do it. All the things I mentioned may actually wind up bringing you more heartbreak, not less. Sir. What's the answer? Money? How much is enough? More? Who's the rich guy? The guy that's got more than you got. Stuff doesn't do it, folks. There's a need in your heart for Jesus Christ. The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that means to know, witty, get the word, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us that know him the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. So he's saying, listen, now that God saved us and showed us the truth of the gospel, he's now committed unto us a ministry of reconciliation. And so what it is this, he's the king, we're his children if we're saved, I'm his man if I'm a Bible preacher, I'm his man, I'm doing what he wants me to do, that's what I'm supposed to be, right? And now what I am doing is I'm trying to be an ambassador. I'm in a foreign country. My home is in heaven. My country's on the other side. I'm in a foreign territory right now. This world doesn't run the way a biblical mind runs. This world doesn't operate the way a saved person operates. This world doesn't live according to the agenda that a saved person is supposed to have, and everybody has an agenda. I have an angle this morning. I'll just tell you. I got an agenda. You know what it is? Getting you to Jesus, getting you to the truth, helping you if you want the help. That's my agenda this morning. Enabling those that are getting baptized to understand what they're doing and showing them, hey, here's your opportunity should you choose to say, I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Those of you who are here all the time, how much do I preach on and push baptism? This is my message on baptism and how much baptism has been in it so far. This is your choice between you and God. I want you to understand what you're doing doctrinally, because there's a lot of misunderstandings about baptism. He says, God has given us as an ambassador. We're in a foreign territory saying, hey, listen, come be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, lived the perfect life, because you can't do it. You can't do it. Never cussed, never drank, never smoked, never chew, never fornicated, never cheated on my wife, never looked at something I shouldn't look at, whether online or otherwise. I'm a clean cut, holy rolling, high living, highfalutin. I mean, I read my Bible every day, pray every day, come to church all the time. I don't give 10%. Are you kidding? I give 50% because I'm more spiritual than everybody. And you're the most arrogant, proud, pharisaical. Be nice this morning, Mike. I ever met in my life. Because you think, because your sin of choice is pride, as opposed to all the other things you see people doing, that you're better than them, you ain't making it to heaven, because the original sin that kicked this whole mess off was the sin of pride. I will exalt myself. I will. And what you're doing this morning by way of testimony when you get baptized is you're saying, not my will, but the will of Jesus Christ is what I'm following.
Amen.
You don't work normal.
Yeah.
You don't work like you used to work. Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You got a different purpose in life. You got a different understanding of life. And now you're trying to be a testimony, right?
Yes, sir.
You're trying to be a public witness where you're publicly going to do something that's a little goofy. Yeah, I said that. I'm running the show. I'm the one dunking everybody, okay? It's a little like... okay... Why? Because you're saying, yeah, I'm willing to be ashamed publicly to tell people that I want to follow Jesus Christ. He was baptized.
Sure,
man. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If baptism saves you, if baptism washes away sin, what are you saying about Jesus?
Amen.
He knew no sin. Baptism wasn't saving him. It was a picture. When you get up there to get baptized, I'm going to say your name and listen. I've been going over all the names, even though I know all your names, because for whatever reason, I have this issue. I draw blanks. I could know your name walking out the door, have known you for 10 years, and when you raise your hand, my oldest will raise her hand. I'll go, yes, Lily. That's Anna. Okay, so I'm going to do my best not to do that. It's already bothering me. It didn't happen yet. But I'm going to try to say your name accurately the right way. Sometimes I say it wrong and I never catch it and they make fun of me all the way home. It's brutal. And I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to say, have you already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you are publicly going to say, yes, I have, or yes, or yeah, if you're nervous, whatever. But you're publicly going to say, yes, I've already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I'm going to say, upon profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother or sister, as it fits, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death. That's your cue. My cue to what? Hold your breath. If you don't, it's going to be a scene for the rest of us. Amen. I want you to pinch your nose, put your hand over your mouth, put your other hand over your hand so I have a good strong place to grab onto at your wrists. I'm going to put my hand on the center of your back, put you all the way under the water. Buried, Jesus Christ died. I said the wages of sin is death. We're going to die because we're sinners. How did Jesus Christ die? Because if he never sinned his whole life, death couldn't have him. That's why he said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. The Bible says that he became sin, which is our last verse over here in the chapter. He hath made him to be sin for us, verse 21, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know how he died? On the cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The son that he created, according to John chapter 1 and Genesis and Hebrews, the son that he created that's in the heavens, turned off. The earth that he created shook and rent. Why? Because the creator was dying. He became sin for us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God Almighty can't look on sin. He had to turn his back on his son the first time their relationship was ever broken. Yours has been broken if you're not saved. And if you've been saved, you know it was broken and it's back now. Amen. Jesus Christ's relationship with his father was broken because your sin and my sin was on him. He was buried. Why is burial a part of the gospel? Baptism isn't. Preachers and churches take one or two verses out of context and will trick you into thinking baptism is going to save you. But if you look at the context, and if you got questions about that, let's talk. I can answer your questions. God can answer your questions. That Bible's got the answer to your questions. He was buried. Why? Why is that part of the gospel? The Bible says that he descended before he ascended. He took your sins and my sins and put them in hell. Your hell has already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
He was the perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. He shed his blood for you because without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, there was no remission. His blood was perfect. His blood washed you sin clean. And he is the one who, the Bible says, ever liveth to make intercession. He rose again the third day, buried in the likeness of his death. That's your cue. But I'm not holding you under. Why? Because there's good news with all this, man. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. In other words, Jesus Christ went down, but guess what? He didn't stay down. He came up. And he ever liveth to make intercession for you. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can come into that office and sit there and confess your sins to me all day and all night and get, okay, let me say a prayer for you. Or go say prayer. Listen, get nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. I mean, it'll stay with me as long as it's not illegal. I always get that out there because I don't want somebody coming into me and dumping something illegal on my desk and now I'm responsible for this. You brought me in as an accomplice. As long as you ain't committing crimes that you ain't been caught for, it stays between me and you. But it gets you nowhere with God. Nowhere. How about that? Why? Because I'm a sinner. How in the world can a sinner intercede for a sinner? God, on my merits and behalf, I ask you to... God's like, what merits and behalf, man? You got the foundation all wrong. You understood when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior that the merit was the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he did. It's how he lived. It's his death that the Father receives. The ministry of reconciliation is me saying, listen, Jesus Christ did it for you. It's done.
Yes, sir.
Ask him to save you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's like this. I'm the dad. Come Christmas time, I buy them gifts. Guess what? They can accept or reject those gifts at their will. First time they open, I didn't want this. No problem, sweetie. We'll see you next Christmas, maybe. Right? It's a gift. It's by grace. Means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. Your salvation, you didn't deserve.
Right.
So why are you going to... Listen, I want you, when you get baptized by Pastor Reagan, to have zero excuse when you stand before God to say, well, I thought when I got dunked, I was saved. I'm going to answer for that. I hope I'm being as simple as I could be so the youngest kid in here can get it, and as plain as I can be so the oldest person in here can go, well, I don't like him, but he sure ain't manipulating nobody. I want it clear, man. I mean clear. You get saved on the merits of who Jesus Christ is and what he did. That's all the Father accepts is his Son. Not you, not me, not your religion, not your works, nothing. It's a gift. Take it. It just can't be that easy. If it's so easy, why ain't you getting it done? If God made it any harder, you can't accept it this easy. Nobody. He would get zero return on his investment. His investment was his only begotten Son. Listen, his only begotten Son. He made him to be sin for you, for me. That's a pretty big investment. And now you got a stubborn, bullheaded, sinful individual who thinks they know more than God, having to try to swallow this message of nothing about you is good enough, nothing about you is righteous, your religion won't do it, your opinions aren't enough, your feelings won't cut it. What you got to accept is you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you deserve to die. And after this, the judgment and the death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you die without Jesus Christ, you die twice. You were born once, you die twice, and eternity in the lake of fire. God wants you to get this. And he says, I loved you so much. Can you accept my love? You got to turn from yourself. You got to turn from your works, even your baptism.
Yes, sir.
Say, I ain't trusting in my baptism. My baptism was a type that I am going to make the decision to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. I have been saved, and I'm thankful for that. Now listen, I'm almost done this morning. I'm actually not even going to my last couple points. I'm almost done. Listen. You are a child of God if you're saved. I have four. They will always be my daughters. Because they were born. Do you understand that? That's pretty simple, right? That does not mean that me and them will always have a great relationship. You understand that? Let's just say I had a little bit of money to leave to my kids when I died. So far, we're not doing too great on that, but we'll get there. They've drained us before we died. That's why. And I got, out of the four daughters, I got three that are, we have a good relationship. And I got one who won't have anything to do with us. She just squanders everything. She goes off the deep end. I don't like making any more analogies than that, but you get my point. It's a painful thought. Let me tell you something. They're all equally my daughters because they were born. But there's only three that are getting an inheritance. Because I'm not going to spend my whole life trying to get somewhere. Me and my wife breaking our backs and moving forward and trying to be smart. And have a little something and have three girls that are going to actually take what we leave them and do something with it. For them, their spouses, their children. Have one that's just going to squander it all on whatever. And leave that one anything. Doesn't mean I love her any less. I'd probably cry when I did the paperwork. That thing would be signed and stained in my tears. But I'm not leaving her an inheritance if she's going to be like that. She's still my daughter. Do you understand that?
Yes,
major misconception in a lot of churches. If there was a day and a time, everybody getting baptized, I want you to hear me. If there was a day and a time when you realized you were a sinner, you were on your way to hell because of your sin, Jesus Christ lived the perfect life for you because you can't do it, died on the cross of Calvary and suffered the wrath of God for you, and said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. you realized that and you said, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and save your soul, then you are at that moment a child of God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. I could quote you more. I've quoted you a bunch already. I don't even know how many. The Bible is very, very, very clear on salvation because God loves his son and wants a return on his investment. Only religion can mess this up. Only somebody who's got an ulterior motive can mess this up. It's so clear from the Bible, it's not even funny. Just because you're a child of God does not mean that when you get to heaven, you're going to have rewards there. That's the inheritance. The illustration that I gave you about my personal life was to bring the reality of it kind of to home and make it click in our heads, but there is literally an inheritance promised to those who follow Jesus Christ after they're saved. You can choose not to. You can be a rebellious child and die, and you still go to heaven because your salvation is not secured by your works. It's secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, I just can't swallow that. Oh, yeah, sure you can. But what you're having a hard time getting over is the fact that it's all about him and it's not about you in a selfie generation. That's really difficult to deal with.
Amen.
Well, who would serve God then if it was that easy? Well, I don't know. You're looking at a church full of people. You know why? He's a great father.
Sir.
Jesus Christ is the leader, man. I study leadership. I like leadership. I like watching different kinds of leaders, and I can't stand. I absolutely despise a bad leader, a manipulative leader, a leader that puts everybody down all the time, a leader that's got an agenda, a leader who chameleons with his crowd and makes sure that he kind of like conforms to whoever he's around at that. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It's not leadership. And I can't stand a dictator. You know what Jesus Christ is? The perfect leader. He goes where he's supposed to go. He does what he's supposed to do. He'll guide you. He'll protect you. He'll lead you. He'll take care of you. He'll work you through all your problems. He'll be there with you when you go through them because the Christian life does not ensure no more problems. That's hogwash. He'll take you through them. He'll help you out. And what you're doing this morning, everybody who's getting baptized, what you're supposed to be doing this morning, and I want you to understand it, what you're supposed to be doing this morning is saying, I am going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is one of those moments, one of those decisions in your life where you say, hey, preacher, can you baptize me? It's funny how that happens when there's been no pressure around here to get baptized. Preacher, can you baptize me? Sure, as long as you know exactly what you're doing. If you're lying to me, that's between you and God. I'm not responsible for your lie. I want you to know exactly what you're doing. And you're making a decision this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism because he was baptized and it typifies your salvation in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you're just saying, I'm going to be a public witness that I was saved and now I'm going to do the best I can to follow the Lord with my life. Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin after you got saved. When you sin, you get it right because you're worried about your relationship with your Savior. I'm going to say that again. When you mess up, Christian, you get it right. You ask for forgiveness because you're worried about your relationship with your Heavenly Father, your relationship with your Savior being what it ought to be. Not because you're worried about losing your salvation. So if you're here this morning, you've been saved, and you're kind of holding back, you haven't been baptized, no pressure. If you want to jump in, the water's warm, I believe. Last year it wasn't. This year I think it is. As long as you understand what you're doing. As long as you've already been saved. But if you're not quite ready yet, that's okay. We'll have more baptisms next year. You need to pray about it. And what it is it's a decision to say, you know what, I'm not just saved, I am going to follow Jesus Christ with my life. Can I publicly say, the older I get, the more I want to follow Jesus Christ with my life.
Amen.
Personally, Mike Reagan Jr., me, I want to follow him. I don't regret the day I was baptized because that was a big day for me. And I hope it is for you, and I hope it means more than just, yeah, I got dunked. If you're relying on anything out of that water, like salvation or anything big supernatural, the Spirit of God's not going to descend from heaven like a dove. You ain't Jesus.
Amen.
You already got the Spirit of God if you're saved. I want you to say, you know what, this is a decision. This is a new behavior pattern. I'm going to not just be baptized today publicly to show my faith in Jesus Christ, but I am also going to make decisions from day to day the best I can to follow my Savior because he's worth following.